Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tatacha tutiye. Munir vivakshur bhagavad gunanam. Sakapite Bharatamaha Krishna Yasminvinam Gramya Katanu Vadayar Matir Grihita Nuhare Katayam Iti. The third canto of the Bhagavatam also says, your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. The whole idea is to draw people's attention to Krishna Katha through their strong affinity for hearing mundane topics. Well, okay, here's a statement from the third canto that directly connects the Mahabharata with Krishna consciousness. That it was stated before in the previous Anuchet, but here it's being confirmed that Mahabharata is giving serious attention to the glorification of the personality of Godhead. Tasma, and therefore, it's appropriate that the Bhagavatam be a commentary on the Mahabharata. If the Mahabharata is glorifying the Supreme Lord as the Bhagavatam intends to do, then the Bhagavatam is doing well by explaining the Mahabharata. 22.2. Tasmat Gayatri Bhashyo Sau, which was what was said in the Garuda Purana. Garuda Purana, yes. Tataiva hi Vishnu Dharmo Taradao Tadvyakhyane Bhagavan Eva Vistarena Pratipadita Pratipaditaha. Hare Krishna. Atra Janmadyasya Ityasya Vyakyanam cha tata darshayishyati. Darshayishyate. Vedarta paribrimhita, vedartasya paribrimhanam yasmat. Tachoktam itihasu purana abhyam ityadi. Therefore, the Bhagavatam, quote, serves as a commentary on Gayatri. And so it is that the Vishnu Dharmotara and other Puranas, while explaining the Gayatri Mantra, elaborately describe the personality of Godhead. Again, the Gayatri Mantra, when explained, is shown to glorify the personality of Godhead. Therefore, it's appropriate for the Bhagavatam to be the commentary on Gayatri. It doesn't prove that it is a commentary, but it shows why it's a good reason. There's a good reason for it being a commentary. It's worthwhile for it to be a commentary. Later we shall explain the Janmadyasya verse along these same lines. Vedarta paribrimhita means by which the meaning of the Vedas is made complete. Well, that's taking paribrimhita, which is, strictly speaking, a past passive participle, and not reading the compound literally, which would be filled up with the meanings of the Vedas. But another meaning is by taking it as a bahuvrihi, vedartas tarsya paribrimhanam yasmat. To do that, you'll have to take the past participle to have a sense of a noun. It means the filling up. The filling up of the Veda, meaning of the Vedas, is from which? From which Bhagavatam? That's not contradicting the idea that it's also full with the meanings. But this is a special meaning. That the Veda, the meaning of the Vedas becomes complete by the explanation given in the Bhagavatam. Not that there's anything missing in the Vedas, but there's something missing in our understanding of the Vedas. We can't understand the Vedas completely, but we get complete understanding when we read the Bhagavatam. By which the message of the Vedas is made complete, as expressed by statements such as, quote, one should complete the Vedas with the Itihasas and Puranas. Where is that from? Do you see the footnote? The what? I know it came before. I'm looking for the reference. I don't know. Here I have GP. Oh, the Garuda Purana. GP must be Garuda Purana. Anyway. Oh, 193 is the right number. Okay. That would be Mahabharata. But also the MZ. What's the MZ? I don't know. Okay. All right. It's Mahabharata. Continuing. Purananam samarupaha. Vedeshu samavat sateshu shreshta ityartaha. Puranantaranam keshanchit apatato rajas tamasi jushamanais tatparatva apatitatve pi vedanam kandatraya vakyaikya vakyatayam yatasamna tatatesham shri bhagavatena pratipadye shri bhagavati eva pariyavasanam iti bhavaha tad uktam vede vamayane chaiva purane bharate tata adavante cha madhye cha harik sarvatra giyate iti pratipada yishyate cha tadinam paramatma sandarbe. The Sama is the best of the Vedas, and so the Sama Veda among the Puranas, which is what the Garuda Purana says, means the best of the Puranas. Persons influenced by the material modes of passion and ignorance may not see that some of the other Puranas are dedicated to the personality of Godhead. But just as the Samaveda reconciles all the various statements of the three divisions of Vedic texts into a single consistent message, all the Puranas ultimately glorify the same Sri Bhagavan whose glories the Bhagavatam establishes. Thus it is said, throughout the Vedas and everywhere in the Ramayana, Puranas, and Mahabharata, from the beginning to the middle to the end, the praises of Lord Hari are sung. This we shall demonstrate later in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Sakshad Bhagavato Ritaha Iti Kasmai Yena Vibhasato Yam It Yupasamhara Vakyanusare Nagyayam Shata Vicheda Samyutaha Iti Vistarabhyana Vrivriyate Tadevam Sri Bhagavatam Sarva Shastra Chakravarti Padam Aptam Itistite Hema Simha Samanvitam Ityatra Suvarna Simhasana Rudham Ititika Karaik Vyakyatam Tadeva Yuktam Atat Sri Bhagavatasyaiva Vyasa Vashakatatvam Shreshtatvam Chaskande Nirnitam. Directly spoken by the personality of Godhead. That's also said in the Garuda Purana. Can be understood in accordance with the summarizing verse. That means the verse at the end of the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord to Brahma. To avoid increasing the length of this discussion, we will not elaborate on the phrase, including hundreds of chapters. Thus we conclude that Srimad Bhagavatam indeed deserves the status of emperor of all scriptures, and that the commentator Srila Swami was correct in saying that together with a gold lion means placed upon a gold lion throne. That doesn't mean you should give the Bhagavatam and catch a lion and give him too, no. A throne in the shape of a lion. For these reasons, the Skanda Purana has determined that one needs study only Srimad Bhagavatam and that it is the best of scriptures. Ata eva skandhi, and here's a statement from the Skanda Purana. Shata shota sahasraischa kimanyai shastra sangrahai nayasya tishtate gehe shastram bhagavatam kalao katam sa vaishnavo gyeya shastram bhagavatam kalao grihe natishtate yasya savipraq swapachadamaha yatra yatra bhaved vipra shastram bhagavatam kalao tatra tatra harir yati tridashaik sahanarada yat patet prayato nityam shlokam bhagavatam mune ashtadasha purananam palam prapnoti manavaha iti tadevam paramarta vivitsubi Sri Bhagavatam eva sampratam vicharaniyam iti stitam. And so the Skanda Purana says, in this Kali Yuga, of what use is a collection of hundreds and thousands of other scriptures? In the house of someone who does not have the scripture Bhagavatam. If a person living in this Kali Yuga does not have the scripture Bhagavatam in his home, how can he be considered a Vaishnava? Indeed, in Kali Yuga, a Brahmana who does not have the scripture Bhagavatam in his home is worse than a dog eater. O Brahmana Narada, in Kali Yuga, wherever the scripture Bhagavatam is present, there Lord Harivi will go, along with the 13 principal demigods. Any human being who daily reads with the devotion even one verse of the Bhagavatam, O sage, will obtain the benefits of studying all 18 Puranas. Nowadays, therefore, those who want to understand the supreme goal of life should study Srimad Bhagavatam. Commentary. By presenting the complete science of Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Gayatri Mantra in the same way that it establishes the meaning of the Mahabharata. According to the Agni Purana, Vishnu Dharmotava Upa Purana, and other sources, the Lord of the Sun worshipped in the Gayatri Mantra is only superficially the Jiva who rules our visible sun in the material world. Understood on a higher level, Gayatri is addressed to the supersoul of the sun god, the supreme lord in the form of Surya Narayana. When Brahmanas chant the Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, they are praising the light, Bhargas, of the effulgent sun, Deva, who is the inspirer, Savita, of all life. Physically, Savita is the sun visible to everyone in the sky, but knowledgeable people recognize, according to Vedic authority, that Savita, more essentially, is the name of a powerful demigod, the soul of this external body of the sun globe. And a wise person understands that the original Savita is the personality of Godhead, the supersoul of the sun god and all other souls. Srimad Bhagavatam was first spoken at the beginning of creation by Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu to Brahma, the sole creature in the universe at that time. Because no one else was present to act as Brahma's spiritual master, The Supreme Lord himself spoke the transcendental knowledge of the Bhagavatam to Brahma from within his heart. Teni Brahma Vidaya Adi Kavaye, first verse of the Bhagavatam. By hearing the first capsule version of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, Brahma became Adi Kavi, the original scholar of the science of God. Brahma later expanded the Bhagavatam into several hundred verses for his son Narada. And Narada inspired Krishna Dwaipayan of Vyas to receive in his meditation the fully developed Bhagavatam of 18,000 verses in 335 chapters. Some manuscripts and printed editions of Tattvasandarbha include several additional statements in this Anuchet, texts that deal further with the Mahabharata, and then at length with the Agni Purana's explanation of Gayatri. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, however, does not say anything about these texts in his commentary. The extra passage repeats a few phrases found elsewhere in the Anuchet and seems to interrupt the flow of the argument. We have chosen not to include it in our text on the grounds that it may have been inserted later as someone else's comment. Another two redundant sentences near the end of this Anuchet have also been removed. These detailed, deleted passages are reproduced in Appendix 2 of this volume, which gives the longer version of Anuchet 22. The third Sandarbha, Sri Paramatma Sandarbha, will turn its attention to the Gayatri Mantra in its 105th Anuchet, explaining it at some length with reference to various scriptures as a meditation on the personality of Godhead. So when we get to there, to the 105th Anuchet of the Paramatma Sandarbha, we'll see that. Yeah, I translated it. Okay, any questions on that? Damodar Gopal?
In the third paragraph, 22.3, there is written, just as the Samaveda reconciles all the various statements of the three divisions of Vedic texts into a single consistent message. Yeah. So, could you kindly explain the significance of Samaveda?
No, I don't know. I don't know why that's so. It's there. Jiva Goswami said it, but I don't understand how that works. Mm-hmm. How the Samaveda reconciles the three Vedas, or includes everything in the three Vedas. I know it's...
It says the three divisions of the Vedic texts.
Three divisions of the Vedic texts would be the three, the Rig Mantras, the Yajur Mantras, and the Sama Mantras.
Okay.
Or no, it could be Karmakanda. Okay, then okay, if it's Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda, it may be that just, you know, it serves all three purposes. The Samaveda is used in the rituals, but it also gives understanding of the Supreme Person, or of the Supreme, Brahman, and it shows how to worship, because it's used in worship. When the Samaveda used in ritual is actually doing it devotionally. It's not just dry ritual. When the Samaveda is chanted in the right spirit, it's devotional service. So I guess, thus, it serves the purpose of all three endeavors, jnana, karma, and bhakti. Mm-hmm. That's all I can... I'm just guessing.
Because it's given as an example of how Srimad Bhagavatam glorify the same Sri Bhagavan.
Yes.
Sorry, no.
Well, like, if you have a shastra that presents jnana, karma, and bhakti, then you're glorifying Bhagavan. So the Vedas are all used in Karmakanda. You know, every four of the Vedas, all four of them are used in the Karmakanda. But some parts of the Vedas can be identified as actually describing devotional service. Some small parts. The Bhagavatam, on the other hand, is not presenting karmakanda. It's not interested in it. But it does share those parts of the Vedas that are devotional, and the Bhagavatam, which is devotional, they share that quality. They're both presenting bhakti. And the Samaveda is identified by Krishna as the best part of the Vedas. What would make it best? The best thing to do is glorify the Supreme Person. So somehow the Samaveda, rather than the Rig Veda, is glorifying the Supreme Person. How that is, I can't say. I don't know the Samaveda.
And another, yeah, thank you. Okay.
What exactly is the simile being said? Just as the Samaveda reconciles all the various divisions of the Vedas.
Where is it?
I mean, the same sentence that he's speaking about.
Yeah, Kandatraya. It's the three khandas.
So what's the simile between the Samaveda and the Bhagavatam? Like in the sentence, it says, just as. What's the simile?
As? It's an as-so clause. In the same way as, not a simile. Simile is, you know, your face is like the moon.
Okay, what is the...
Or your face is like a monkey. Now, that's a simile.
What is the similar thing?
In the same way as that, also that. So the similarity here is what it says. I'm looking... Okay. Okay. See what the Sama. I'm looking at the Sanskrit, not the English. Raju? Garme sabji chai? Or mera kamre mein kichri hai? Ye garbage sakte hai? Okay. Oh, wait, okay. By the Samaveda, what is done? There's taking all the statements of the three khandas. The three khandas seem to be separate, have separate aims, right? Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Upasanakanda seem to have separate aims. But in the Samaveda, by the Samaveda, they're given a unified form. They're shown to actually be expressing one basic aim. Okay? And in the same way as that, the same reconciling way of taking what seems to be separate purposes and showing it to have one overall purpose. Similarly, even though other Puranas seem to partake of ignorance and passion, the Bhagavatam focuses exclusively on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, just as the Samaveda takes the apparent disjointed separate aims of the Vedas and focuses it on one purpose, similarly the Bhagavatam does that. It takes all the apparently different purposes of the Puranas and shows how everything is actually focused on the Supreme Person. It's the essence of all the Puranas, the way that the Samaveda is the essence of all the Vedas. Okay, Nityananda Prabhu.
Yeah, and the 22.5, third verse,
mm-hmm.
The last sentence, Tridashai Saha Narada.
Yes.
So I was just, came across this Tridasha thing
yes.
A few days back, and it looks like it's translated as 30 in Monier Williams.
30, not 13?
13, is he?
What did I say?
13.
Wow.
He says this is 12 Adityas, 8 Vasus, then... No, some Adityas, Vasus, Rudas, and 2 Ashwini Kumars, they like...
Makes 30 different.
Makes 30, demigods. Yeah.
Let's change it right now.
So I think it's 30.
Yeah. Okay, 30 demigods, principal demigods. Thank you. It's been changed. Okay. No, it hasn't been. This is not my copy. Let me make a mark. Hold on a second. The numbers are on, that's all. Okay, what else? Vishnukantabu.
I had another question.
Yes.
And I thought that was going to be after Nithyananda. What is this, to avoid increasing the length of the discussion, you shall not elaborate on the phrase, including hundreds of chapters?
Okay.
Where is this from?
That was also one of the phrases in the Garuda Purana. Another thing said about the Bhagavad Gita that has hundreds of chapters. So Jiva Goswami doesn't want to spend the time to explain that.
Okay.
Just leave it at that. It has hundreds of chapters, period.
I mean, it does have hundreds, 335 chapters.
Yeah, that's hundreds.
Okay.
And, what are we going to do? Explain what, talk about the chapters, what they are?
Yeah.
Nah, we don't need to do that here. That's all. Yes.
Skanda Purana glorifying Bhagavatam as all this says wherever Bhagavatam is there, then Lord goes along with the demigods.
Yes.
So it may seem like even those who are not in proper disciplic succession or those who are like just sentimentally having Bhagavatam and reading.
Yes.
So it applies to those people also.
Yes. Why not? Even the people who are complete nonsense, complete materialists, but they happen to buy a Bhagavatam from a devotee and put it on their shelf.
Bhagavatam can
then the Supreme Lord is living in their house in the form of Bhagavatam with the Goddess of Fortune.
You can refer to even the Gita Press edition Bhagavatam or any other people who publish Bhagavatam.
Yeah, it's still Bhagavatam.
But what difference does it make for those such people, even if
they have the Goddess of Fortune, the Supreme Lord and the Goddess of Fortune in their house, because they don't have Prabhupada's purpose, they won't have a faintest idea how to worship the Supreme Lord and the Goddess of Fortune. So you get this, the most important person as your guest in your house, but you can't treat him properly. That's not so good. After you get the Supreme Lord in your house, you should learn how to take care of him. For that, you need Prabhupada's purports. In translation. Yes.
Basically, in this section, he doesn't go into detail how the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Mahabharata, how it is a commentary on the Gayatri, or how it is a commentary. He just says that the purpose of the Gayatri is to glorify the Lord. The purpose of the Mahabharata is also to glorify the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, it's just the glorification of the Lord. Therefore, it is.
He's not proving. He's not proving the fact. He's not trying to give another proof of the fact that it is a commentary on the Mahabharata and the Gayatri. He's showing why it makes. Well, it's appropriate for it to be a commentary. If the Mahabharata and the Gayatri were just mundane. It had nothing to do with the Supreme Lord, then why comment on them? Okay, that's all it is. That's all he's doing.
But he will describe this more later on?
No.
He says in the...
No.
No?
What will be described later on? What do we have here?
Oh, that throughout all the Vedas everywhere in the Ramayana Puranas, from the beginning, the praise of Lord Hari are sung.
Well, okay. I should mention where later on. Hold on a second. I want to go back and mark that. Where does it say that? Exactly where does it say that?
Well, this is in the...
Let me find this.
22.1.
You sure? 22.1.
Last. But actually, you do mention...
It's not 22.1, sorry.
22.3, sorry.
Okay, let me find it.
But you do mention, sorry, you do mention your purport.
Oh, the Paramatma Sandarbha. But wasn't there a mention of something else that's going to be described later?
We'll turn his attention to Gayatri Mantra.
Okay, now there. Yeah. I should identify that. Right? That's not said in the commentary. Where's no. that? Also 23? 22.3?
22.3, there's a statement
about the Gayatri. That's in 22.2. Okay, let me make a... No, we will explain the Janmadhyasya verse. It's there, but I should tell exactly where in the commentary. So let me just make a note.
So in this section of...
Yeah?
So in that section in the future, we'll be explained in more detail how the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Gayatri, or is explaining the Gayatri.
Later we'll explain, doesn't say that. It says later we'll explain the Janmadhyasya verse along these same lines. Oh, I see. Yeah. I better check that. Is it saying when we later find the explanation of Janmadhyasya Yataha, is it going to explain about the Gayatri there? Well, I have to identify it and check. And then if I find out what's actually happening, I'll add that to the commentary. First, I have to do some research. Okay. Anything else?
Because you do say in your commentary that the last sentence that we will give attention to the Gayatri Mantra in the Paramatma Sandarbha.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but I don't know if that's the explanation of Janmadhyasya Yataha. Let me check. Okay. All right, let's go on to 23. I don't have it here. It's in my computer, but it wasn't copied. Ata eva satsvapi nana shastresh etadivyuktam kalau nastridishami isha puranarko dunoditaha iti arkata rupakena tadvida nanyesham samyagvastu prakashakatvam iti pratipadyate. Okay. Thus, even though there are many other revealed scriptures, it has been said, this Purana has now arisen like the sun. For those who have lost their sight in the age of Kali. From this comparison to the sun, we can deduce that without help from the Bhagavatam, other scriptures cannot adequately depict reality. Yasyaiva Srimad Bhagavatasya Bhashya Bhutam Srihaya Shirsha Pancharatre Shastra Katana Prastave Ganitam Tantra Bhagavatabhidam Tantram Yasya Sakshad Sri Hanumad Bhashya Vasana Bhashya Sambandokti Vidvat Kamadenu Tattva Deepika Bhavarta Deepika Paramahamsa Priya Shuka Vidayadayo Vyakya Grantas Tata Mukta Phala Hari Lila Bhakti Ratnavali Adayo Nibandas Cha Vivida Eva Tan Tan Mata Prasiddha Mahanu Bhava Krita Virajante. Sri Hayashirsha Pancharatra, in the course of describing various scriptures, lists the Tantra called Tantra Bhagavat as a kind of commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Tantra Bhagavat exists. There's a copy of it in the Royal Asiatic Society in Calcutta. There are many commentaries on the Bhagavatam, including Hanumad Bhashya, Vasana Bhashya, Sambandokti, Vidvat Kamadenu, Tattva Deepika, Bhavarta Deepika, Paramahamsa Priya, and Shuka Vidaya. These are old commentaries. I was able to identify a few of them. The other ones, I don't know what they are. As well as a number of monographs on specific topics of the Bhagavatam. Monographs such as Mukta Phala, Hari Leela, Bhakti Ratnavali, and so on. Various enlightened authorities composed these prominent works, each commenting according to the opinions of his own school. So it's significant, other Puranas don't have commentaries. Bhagavatam's got a whole long list of commentaries. Makes it more important. Yadeva cha hemadri gruntasya dana konde purana dana prastave matsya paraniyata lakshana dritya prashastam. Hemadri parishesha kandasya kala nirnaye cha kali yuga dharma nirnaye kalim sabajayantyarya ityadikam tadvakya twain otapya yat pratipadata dharma evakalav angikritaha. Samvatsada padipecha tat kartra shatashota sahasraischa ityadikam prakdarshitam skanda vachana jatam utapya sarvakala doshata pavitriyaya katichitri bhagavata vachanani lekyani iti likitani. Okay, this is evidence in the writings of scholar Hemadri, who was a smart a ritualist. The section called Charity in Hemadri's book, while discussing the giving of Puranas as gifts, praises the Bhagavatam by quoting from the Matsya Purana the list of the Bhagavatam special features, that same list that we have read here. And in the appendix of his work, under the heading of, quote, defining the significance of various times, when he defines the principles of religious life for Kali Yuga, he cites the text that begins, advanced souls have great respect for Kali Yuga, from the 12th canto. Hemadri identifies this text as a verse of the Bhagavatam and acknowledges that only the religious principles enunciated in the Bhagavatam are suitable for the Kali age. And that's a materialist. Well, anyway, he's a smarter. So he's glorifying the Bhagavatam even. In another work, Samvatsara Pradipa, the author quotes the several verse passage from the Skanda Purana cited above, same person, Hemadri, beginning with, what is the use of hundreds or thousands of other scriptures? And then inserts in his text several verses of the Bhagavatam that he recommends for copying by hand to purify oneself from the defects of this age. Okay, so even the smartas see some worth in the Bhagavatam. Continuing. Ata yad eva kaivalyam ati api atikramya bhakti sukha vyaharadi lingena nija matasyapyupari virajamarnartam matva yada paurusheyam vedanta vyakyanam bayad achalayataiva shankaravataratya vasidena vakshamana swagopanadi hetuka bhagavad agya pravartita dvaya vadin api etan matra varnita vishwa rupa darshana krita vajeshwari vismaya shri vrajakumari vasana chauryadikam govindashtakaudau varnayata tatasti bhuya nijavachaksa palyaya sprishnamiti. Shankara avatar. Okay. Shankaracharya, this is all one sentence. Where's the subject? It actually is, I don't think there's an explicit subject here. But it says he appeared as an incarnation of Shankara, so we can guess who it is. If you don't know who Shankaracharya is, you might as well not be reading this book. If you don't even know that much, then maybe the toughest Sandarbha is above your head. So he doesn't have to tell us who this is, appearing as and doing all these things after appearing as an incarnation of Lord Shankara. It's Shankaracharya, known to be an incarnation of Lord Shankara, considered the message of Srimad Bhagavatam far superior to his own conception of merging with the Supreme, inasmuch as the Bhagavatam reveals the pleasure pastimes of pure devotion, as well as other special truths. Because the personality of Godhead wanted to hide himself and accomplish other purposes, he ordered Shankaracharya to put forward the philosophy of oneness, as we shall discuss later on. Nonetheless, Shankaracharya was anxious not to disturb the Bhagavatam, the original authorless commentary on the Vedanta. By depicting in his Govindashtaka and other works events described only in the Bhagavatam, such as the Queen of Raja's amazement at seeing the total form of the universe, and Krishna's stealing the clothes of the unmarried girls of Raja. Shankaracharya kept himself at a respectful distance and merely touched the Bhagavatam to assure the success of his own words. He didn't quote from the Bhagavatam, because then he'd have to start giving his Mayavadi commentary on the Bhagavatam. He didn't want to disrespect the Bhagavatam by doing that. But he, in his poetry, he mentioned pastimes that are not described anywhere else but the Bhagavatam. That's how he indirectly gave respect to, honored the Bhagavatam. So even the ritualists and even the original Mayavadi, they're all glorifying the Bhagavatam. Now the commentary. Just as the constant sun reappears each morning to remove the darkness of sleep and inspire everyone to engage once more in the purposeful activities of life, the eternal Srimad Bhagavatam manifests itself, especially in the ignorant age of Kali, as the one transcendental sun of spiritual enlightenment. Okay, so you have that statement that Bhagavatam has now arisen like the sun. Well, if you carry that analogy far enough, you get the idea that like the sun, it's pre-existing. It's eternal. The sun doesn't take birth in the morning. It just rises over the horizon. So the Bhagavatam existed before Kali Yuga. Anyway, if the analogy can be carried, not every analogy can be carried unlimitedly. But why not this one? Only through the light of the Bhagavatam can the real purpose of life be known in Kali Yuga. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the sages at Naimisharanya asked Suta Goswami, Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Aruno Pete Dharmakam Sharanam Gataha. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Suta answered, Krishne Swadam Upagate Dharma Ganadi Bhiksaha Kalau Nastur Dishamesha Puranarko Dunoditaha. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Bhagavatam 1.3.34. Many ages ago, when Lord Brahma was first contemplating the work of creation, before he had begun, the personality of Godhead spoke to him a synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, which are recorded in the second canto, ninth chapter. After hearing these verses, Brahma was completely educated. He was awakened to pure devotional service, and he remembered from his past life everything needed for reconstructing the universe. For his most spiritually qualified son, Narada, he then amplified the four-verse Bhagavatam into a narration of 133 verses. That's the fifth chapter of the second canto, ninth verse, to the end of the seventh chapter. Oh, where does it say that? Well, let's change that. His earlier life. Well, let's make earlier life. That's okay. That means when he was a young boy. I have to ask Jai to wait a moment, but that's okay. So I'm making a note of it. Okay. Under Narada's guidance, Vyasadeva discovered in meditation the complete eternal Bhagavatam, which he then taught to his son Shukadeva. Shukadeva spoke this full Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj in the last 7 days of Parikshit's life. Finally, Suta Goswami, who was present when Parikshit passed away, repeated the Bhagavatam to the sages at the great Soma sacrifice at Naimisharanya. From one point of view, it appears that each of these speakers added something of his own to the text, at least some introductory and connecting verses here and there. From another point of view, it should be understood that because Vyasadeva is Trikala Gya, an infallible seer of past, present, and future, it was not at all impossible for him to include in his own recitation statements not yet made by Shukadeva, Parikshit, Sutta, and Shonaka. Kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipak pura tadrupena janara daya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanata bhagavadrataya kanunyatas tachudam vibhalam vishokam amitam satyam param dimahi. This is from the last chapter, almost the very last verse of the Bhagavatam. I meditate on that pure and spotless Supreme Absolute Truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas. Srila Vyas revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit. A living being is always growing, at least until fully mature. But the Bhagavatam, even after reaching maturity, in its recitation by Shukadeva Goswami, has continued to expand its glory through the ongoing process of commentation by self-realized Vaishnavacharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions in this Anuched a number of commentaries by Acharyas of various sampradayas known to him in the 16th century. Unfortunately, several of these commentaries are no longer available or even identifiable. The Tantra Bhagavat is not in the normal category of commentaries because it is eternal Shruti and therefore has no human author. It is known from having been cited by Srila Madhvacharya, and there is one old, possibly authentic manuscript copy of it in the library of the Asiatic Society of Kolkata. Bhavartha Deepika by Srila Sridhar Swami is probably the oldest extant Bhagavatam commentary. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected Bhavartha Deepika as standard authority, commentators in the line of Lord Chaitanya, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes use Sridhar Swami's explanations as the basis upon which they elaborated on Bhagavatam verses. Lord Chaitanya's followers were obliged to accept the Lord's opinions, as recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sridhar Swami Prasade Bhagavata Jani Jagat Guru Sridhar Swami Guru Korimani. Sridhar Swami is the spiritual master of the entire world, because by his mercy we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore accept him as a spiritual master. Sridhar Aranu Gata Ye Kori Likon Shobha Loka Manya Kori Kori Be Grahon. One who comments on Srimad Bhagavatam, following in the footsteps of Sridhar Swami, will be honored and accepted by everyone. Among the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Srinath Chakravarti, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote Bhagavatam commentaries. Culminating this venerable tradition is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, wrote his Bhaktivedanta purports. In these purports, the priceless treasure of the cumulative realizations of all the above great Vaishnavas going back to the Bhagavatam's original speakers are transmitted to us in contemporary language. In the 13th century A.D., the Maharashtrian scholar Vopadeva wrote the commentary called Paramahamsa Priya and two other works based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukta Phala and Hari Leela. Vopadeva is known as the author of numerous influential books on grammar, medicine, literature, and religious principles of behavior. And later on in the Bhagavat Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says he's a Mayavadi. Mukta Phala consists of about 800 Bhagavatam verses arranged topically, with only a few additional verses of introduction, and final summary composed by the author. Hari Leela is a simple listing of the Bhagavatam's contents. As mentioned by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his Pramaya Ratnavali, Pramaya, spelled it wrong. Okay. Pramaya. Make a note. Okay, according to Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan in the Pramaya Ratnavali, some scholars of his time, the 18th century, mistakenly thought that Vopadeva was himself the author of Srimad Bhagavatam. This wrong idea, based on Vopadeva's having written three books on the Bhagavatam, was later reiterated in the early 19th century by the British Indologists Colebrook and Wilson, and the misconception continued to have some supporters even into the 20th century. Vishnu Bhakti Ratnavali by Vishnu Puri, a sannyasi disciple of Jaya Dharma Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya, was written about 150 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. This Vishnu Puri is different from the one who lived with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Vishnu Bhakti Ratnavali is also a collection of verses from the Bhagavatam, with a few verses added by the author and a few taken from other Puranas and the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. The verses are arranged in a way that clearly explains the nine processes of devotional service to Krishna, from hearing and chanting to full surrender. Even authorities on mundane matters like Hemadri sometimes acknowledge the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. In his Chatur Varga Chintamani and other textbooks for smarter Brahmins, Hemadri corroborated the Bhagavatam's opinion that Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of God's name, is the suitable religious practice in Kali Yuga. Sripad Shankaracharya is one of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna because he is a direct incarnation of his namesake, Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Lord Shiva is not a finite soul like other demigods, but is in a special category of his own, between jivas and God. On behalf of the Supreme Lord, he contacts the Lord's material energy, Maya, and becomes her consort. He presides over the varieties of material illusion created by Maya's three modes, especially the lowest mode of ignorance. One of his special assignments in Kali Yuga, delegated to him by Lord Vishnu directly, is to appear as a Brahman teacher on earth and propagate an impersonal misinterpretation of the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras. He appeared some 1,300 years ago and fulfilled this order, and in the process replaced the Buddhist nihilism then prominent in India with a similar philosophy that reestablished the authority of the Vedas. Although to fulfill that mission he had to commit violence to the correct understanding of the Vedanta Sutras and other sacred texts like the Bhagavad Gita, because he wrote his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Shankaracharya refrained from openly commenting on the Srimad Bhagavatam. In certain of his works, however, the Govindashtaka, Yamunashtaka, Prabodha Sudhakara, and Sarvasiddhanta Sangraha, he honored the Bhagavatam by referring to pastimes described by that topmost scripture. Only later did some of Shankara's followers dare take advantage of the Bhagavatam for their own contrary purposes. Okay, yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Well, we were discussing with Bharat Ramprabhu about like the explanation that Madhva Acharya followers have for the incarnation of Lord Shiva and Shankaracharya, saying that Shankaracharya didn't really speak philosophy of Mayavada and he employed Maniman as a demon to do that. So it looks like even though they may have substantiated by some scriptural references, Jiva Goswami doesn't hold that view, does he?
Doesn't what?
Doesn't hold that view. That
Shankaracharya... No, we don't hold that view.
Uh-huh. So he himself, even though
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about Lord Shiva himself doing this.
So even though it was unpalatable for him, but because he received the order of the Lord, he had to do that.
Yes. Vishnu Kanta Prabhu.
So the other commentaries which were mentioned, It is not even identified anywhere.
Maybe, but I couldn't locate them. If anybody knows anything about any of these other ones, let me know.
Because as I told previously, this Purna Pragya Vidyapita director, he was saying that in the Mysore Oriental Research Institute, there were several very ancient manuscripts of the original commentaries.
Well, if you could find the actual information, it would be helpful, but we need to know actual names. Yeah.
Also, we have this, this Mukundamala Stotra, is it dated in B.C.?
No. It's there's no way to tell when Bilvamangala actually lived, although he was supposed to.
This Mukundamala is by Kulashekar.
Oh, Kulashekar. Even that, there's controversy over. I'm sorry, Kulashekar. There's too much controversy over when he lived. It's not.
According to them, he lived in BC somewhere.
Yeah, but we can't. Okay, modern scholars have a different opinion. So. It would be controversial to cite that as evidence, because there's different differences of opinion on this date.
That also contains some Bhagavatam verses like Naga Prashtam, Na Parameshtyam, like that. Many Bhagavatam verses are quoted in Mukundamala Sutram also.
Is that true?
This Naga Prashtam, Na Parameshtyam, this verse by Vritrasura. This Naga Prashtam, Na Parameshtyam, this Vritrasura's verse that is there.
Is that in the Bhagavatam?
It's there in the Bhagavatam.
Okay, yes.
A few other verses are also there cited.
Okay, but problem is we don't have a consensus. You know, it's not agreed well enough of when he lived.
But I think Ramanuja agrees. I mean, he Ramanuja Acharya, he say according to him the Aadvars lived long back. I mean, at the beginning of Kali, which is
okay,
few of thousands of years before. What do the modern scholars
yes,
say?
But okay. Anyway, Jiva Goswami didn't choose to say that. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Tattva Sandharva Ki Jaya.